Henry, right in front of you here. Obviously, you showed or reminded everyone that you have an Olympic gold medal in your back pocket. We were able to take him down, do pretty much what you want on the ground. Was that the game plan going into this fight, or was it something that you felt when you were in there?
No, that was the game plan. I since the beginning, when I knew kind of like the Sergio Perez was kind of, you know, he went to Canada and everything. I was like, that's pretty much who I'm fighting next. And I knew he was probably more likely to expect my strike and my karate. And sometimes you have to turn it up, you know. Like I said before the fight, I said, I'm a chameleon, man. I have the ability to wrestle and to strike, and I have these both of these attributes that I can use. And, you know, I decided to use my wrestling for once, you know, so I'm kind of threw everybody off.
Yeah, I know afterwards, you know, the crowd had some boos. You kind of shrugged your shoulders, but were you happy with your performance? I mean, maybe.
You know what? I like to entertain, man. I want to be a crowd pleaser too, you know, but I think with this fight, you know, Sergio's dangerous, man. He's a great striker. He's one of the best strikers in our weight class. And I knew I had to put him in deep waters, and that was, you know, ride him. Not just use the wrestling, but actually, you know, folk style wrestling, ride him against, you know, grab wrist on the hips and making him carry my weight. So that's pretty much what we worked out the whole camp. And we just, you know, solidified the game plan. That's all.
And when you were striking, did you feel like it was pretty even there, or do you just feel the ground was the path of least resistance, so that's where you went?
Yeah, I felt so. I didn't feel Sergio. If Sergio had more power, he'd be a little more dangerous. But I really, you know, he caught me with a few punches, and I was just like, huh. And I slipped it, but I didn't really get razzled and dazzled. I knew when I hit him, it was kind of, you know, I felt like he felt it a little bit more. But for the most part, we're looking just for openings for takedowns and putting him on the ground. And you know, we had a specific plan, and even watching not just him, not just his fights, but his brother's fights too. They've always having wrestlers very problematic for them. So when they wanted this fight, I'm just like, man, are you? I was almost like, are you sure? Just because of that strong base, you know. And but kudos to him, man. He came out. He was confident that he could have got this win, and I just came on top.
Yeah, and last thing for me, it seems like in, you know, any normal circumstance, this would be the one that would do the trick in terms of getting you that second title shot. But it seems like there's this TJ Dillashaw situation kind of lingering over the division, whether he's going to come down and fight Demetrius. So what do you kind of expect to happen from here?
No, well, like I said before, man, I think having that TJ DJ fight is great. Like, I think it's great because I think people are going to see how good Demetrius Johnson really is, because he's been kind of flopping all these 125 pounders. Now, if TJ does come down 125 pounds, I just think it's going to be really good for our weight class, because, again, they're going to see how good Demetrius Johnson really is. But I, from what I've heard, that DJ doesn't want to necessarily fight him just yet, or he wants to write money. And I said, I'll welcome TJ to the weight class. If DJ does not want to fight him, I'll fight TJ. And I know with him, like, he's a former wrestler. I'm going to, you know, it's going to be a mixed fight. And I like it at 125 pounds. And that's if DJ doesn't want to fight TJ, I'll take TJ. Or DJ, you know. Both of them. I want to fight either one of them.
Hey, Henry, right over here. If TJ doesn't happen, if DJ rematch doesn't happen, Joseph Benavidez, is that a fight you still want, just with the way that fight ended sort of controversially?
Yeah, absolutely. We were just talking about it backstage with Eric. You know, when Joseph does get healthy, we can talk about the Grinch.
And where does this win sort of rank in your career? You know, Pettis, very big name, you know, with his brother, and also just the fact he's been on a bit of a roll. You know, where do you sort of rank this win in your career?
I'm not sure. I thought Hayes was a tougher opponent. We trained for him just a little bit more, because Hayes had good takedowns, and he was more dangerous on the ground. And you know, obviously losing to Demetrius, Joe, and I fought pretty much the best, the top five fighters in the world. I fought Benavidez, I fought Wilson Hayes, I fought Demetrius Johnson, and now I fought Sergio Perez, man. Like, I'm not taking these none of these fights lightly. I'm fighting the best of the best, and, you know, I'm not fighting number 15 or number 16 guy. I'm top five. What's up?
And I know you made weight yesterday, but how was the cut for you this time around? You know, obviously you made the weight and everything, but how did you actually feel in there, you know, with cutting that weight and everything?
It feels good. I'm getting better at it. I'm heavy. You guys can see when I get into the cage, I'm bulky. I'm solid. You can tell I'm just, I feel like I'm a lot more muscular than Sergio, any of the guys that I fought before. But you know, I started adjusting some of the stuff that Captain Eric had. We did a hot bath the day of weigh-ins, which typically I do sauna suit, sauna, and I kind of do it old school wrestler style, you know, knock it off. But this time it was more kind of sitting in the hot tub, Epsom salt, and just sitting there and just waiting it out. But I'll always look ugly when I make weight. For some reason, my head gets I get sucked back, and I just look like an AIDS patient. But other than that, I felt good. I felt good to save my legs, and I'm good, man. I'm good.
Last question for you here. How are you celebrating tonight after this big win?
Celebrate my family's they always come down. We never go out, man. We just hang out the, you know, if there's a patio or a porch, we'd be hanging out there, but just hang out at the hotel, man.
Henry, you were very sort of honest after the DJ fight about needing to make improvements if you were going to be able to do that. Did Sergio provide a test where you're really able to say, you know, no, I have made those improvements, I am ready?
Yes, but I've been making those improvements throughout the last couple of years, and you know, I fought DJ 3 years when I just started fighting. I think I'd made my MMA debut in April of 2013, like my first fight. Never did amateur, went straight pro. DJ beat me in a gray area. He beat me in an area where we had a game plan, rough up on the clinch, and you know, I was humbled, man. And thus far, I've gone out to different parts of the world, gone out to Evolve, gone out to Thailand, gone out to Brazil, and I'm planning on possibly going out to Europe with Coach Kerrion at CSA. Man, I've cross-trained, you know, to become the best in the world. And literally, man, like, it's like kind of like a Pokemon character where you go out and you just, you know, compete and find what fits best for you. So I think I made, you know, leaps and bounds, man. Like, I'm an athlete, man. I'm a fighter. And people ask me, how are you going to beat Demetrius Johnson? And I'll say, I mean, it's just at that time, my answer was, man, just time. Just give me time, and you guys will see my improvements.
Do you feel the need at all to kind of chirp a little bit and start getting, you know, getting it out there that you do want that fight now?
Yeah, absolutely. I want that fight, man. Absolutely. 100%, man. When you get rocked in front of 20,000 people, man, that's like, that's personal, man. So I do, but it all depends on what Demetrius Johnson wants, if he wants to fight TJ. Like I said, I like the idea. It's great for our weight class, but if not, I mean, I'm there. I'm there for TJ or DJ.
Hey, Henry, congratulations right in front of you.
Mm-hmm.
And when you were in Edmonton, you had a chance to say something to Demetrius because he was right there. He was in the building tonight as well, right? Did you cross paths at all backstage?
No, I didn't see him. I said hi to him at the hotel. I said, but no, it was, you know, it's a friendly competition, but you know, I want to beat him, yeah. And he wants to beat me again. That's all.
And then last question, not related to your fight, and I apologize if you spoke about it this week. I didn't see it anywhere. An update on your gold medal, and I know that obviously California with the fires, they've got some other things that they need to take care of, but have you stayed in contact with them about potentially recovering?
Yeah, I'm planning on going to California sometime next week, because they haven't allowed anybody to enter the hotel, because everything's just, they haven't allowed anybody to enter the premises, so... I think we're planning on either going out there and getting permission or going out there and just, you know, looking for it. Because my mentor really wants to find it. Because it wasn't just my gold medal. It was my gold medal, my ring, my Olympic ring, my belt. You know, I was doing a charity event, so I brought all my, you know, my prized possessions, man, like my sentimental values. And I lost everything. But they say by the time something hits at 200 degrees, like Fahrenheit, like everything just melts. You know, so I'm just thinking, like, man, you know, it's done. What am I going to do? But I'm going to talk to the Olympic Committee. They've sent me an email. I'm going to get a replacement. I just haven't done so because I've been, obviously I've been training. But my right foot was pretty bad, man. I was pretty toasted. I couldn't really do as much as I wanted to because I was full of warts. blisters under, so I couldn't do much. But I remember the first time I pulled out of the Sergio fight, cause I hurt my right hand. I went up to him in Vegas and says, "Man, I says I owe you one." I says, "I'm sorry, man. Like I wish I could have fought, but my right hand, I couldn't open the door. It would hurt to kind of open the toothpaste cap." And I knew I had to pull out, man. But I says, "I apologize, man. But I says, I owe you one, dude." So when that whole fire thing went back, I'm just like, dude, I went back and I thought of Sergio. I says, "You know what? I'm going to be a man of my word. I owe you one." Well, now my coach just told me, pull out, man. Pull out. But you know what I did? I put two socks on, my wrestling shoe on, and that's how I practiced. Practically about half of the camp, I was practicing with my shoes, with double socks. So I was a man of my word. I said, "I owe you one. I owe you one."
Henry, right here. It's kind of a weird question, but, you know, having that Demetrius fight so early in your career, it's a loss, so a loss is never fun. But do you feel like you almost needed that fight? Because the improvements you've shown since then have been just incredible.
I think it's it made me respect every fighter, because I really did. I really did believe that I was going to beat up Demetrius Johnson, like, when I fought him. Like, deep down in my heart, in my mind, like, I thought I was going to beat this dude, like, beat him up. And I was watching that. I saw, because, you know, sometimes I'll get these, like, Instagram, like, alerts. And I remember watching it. And I remember watching when I lost it. And I was, like, so, like, sad, like, disappointed after the fight. I'm just like, I just kept looking down, like, dude, did this just happen? But through that, it literally did, man. Like, it made me respect him and everybody else in my weight class. So it was humbling, man. It was very, very humbling for me.
And you said earlier, you know, if the TJ-DJ fight happens, we'll see how good Demetrius Johnson is. I just want to get your opinion. Do you see Demetrius winning that fight if they do end up, you know, fighting at 125?
Yes. And again, man, I have no rivalry with TJ, but I can see Demetrius Johnson easily handling TJ, because you lose an additional 10 pounds against a pound per pound king going down to his weight class. Well-rounded, good wrestler, good striker, just a great mixed martial artist. Man, you're in for a treat, man. And he can say he's light and everything, but when you get down to 125 pounds, you're going to feel it the next day. And Demetrius is a cardio machine. I think that's what's going to make that fight dangerous. Now, at 135 pounds, it might be a little different, but 125 pounds, it'll be a pretty dominant win by Demetrius Johnson.
Just have one question for Henry. Mm-hmm. Does a part of you get a little sad at the fact, like, if you compare being dominant in other sports, usually the one who is dominant isn't booed in this sport? And tonight you were dominant. You won all three rounds decisively, and yet you were booed and kind of had to shrug your shoulders. Does that bother you?
No, I feel bad for the fans. Like, for me, no. I think for mixed martial arts, they're like, dude, everybody came on back. She was like, damn, that's the wrestling everybody's been waiting for. You know, they're like, man, that's riding. These are positions that people don't necessarily work on, like Khabib style, where they'll just ride you and hang on you, make you carry the weight. And no, not really, man, because I think I feel, if anything, Ariel, I feel bad for the fans. I do want to entertain. I do want to put on a show. But at the end of the day, dude, I do want to get that much closer, and I do want to fight Demetrius Johnson. And that's all. It was, I don't want to say it was a safe way out, but that was just the game plan that me and my team had. And I told you, if you can outstrike me, I will wrestle you. If I can. So I said that the last meeting. So, and I was kind of saying that towards Pettis, because I knew he was next. I says, if you can outstrike me, if you hit me a little too much than what I like, you're going down. I'm gonna take you down. So that's it. Thank you, guys.
What's up, gang? Attendance tonight was 17,587. It was a full sellout. The gate was $2 million. What we did tonight was, tonight's a tough night. We did two fights in the night, and I don't think I have to say what they are. Obviously, Cowboy and Yancey, and that one's wrong. Whoever wrote this down was wrong. The other one is obviously Gaethje and Alvarez. So they all won $50,000. Congrats to them. Anybody have a question?
Dana, Max Holloway, once again, you know, third round TKO is almost identical to the first fight. I mean, what can you say about this guy? 12 wins in a row, and now he's the only guy to ever beat Aldo twice. I mean, it's pretty incredible.
Incredible. The way he fought tonight, the way he walked him down, tried to break him mentally and physically, was incredible. I mean, he looked like a stud tonight and was willing to put himself in harm's way. He got hit with some big shots that he didn't need to get hit with either, just to prove that he could walk through them. It was badass.
It would seem that Frankie would be the logical fight for Holloway next, considering he was injured and things like that. But I'm curious your thoughts on eventually, you know, down the road, the possibility of Max getting that rematch with Connor, considering 12 wins in a row, what he's done since then. He's a champion. Connor's a champion. Is that something you would entertain down the road?
Again, like I said last week to everybody who was in my office, I don't, you know, who knows if Connor's even going to fight again. So I'm rolling like he's not. So, yeah, if Connor comes back and defends the title, and, you know, anything is possible.
And obviously Francis Ngannou, incredible win tonight. Obviously he's getting the title shot. I think we all know that, but just to confirm, he is getting the title shot.
He is. He looked incredible tonight. Wow. Yeah. That's as impressive a heavyweight knockout as you will ever see.
And my question is, I know there was some contract negotiations going on with Stipe. Where are you at right now with him, and how soon would you want to put that fight together? Because Stipe's been out, you know, since May, and obviously Francis had a first-round knockout. I mean, how soon would you like to do that?
And Ganyu's been out for a while, too. So, yeah, as soon as possible.
How are the contracts?
Good. We're in a good place, yeah.
UFC is obviously a global company, but you've never really had sort of an African star. I mean, can Francis be sort of a key to you guys, if not throwing shows, at least sort of expanding your operations?
Yeah, I mean, the guy, first of all, when you look at him, he looks like the heavyweight champion of the world. I mean, he looks like the heavyweight champion of something. The guy's a monster. And then, you know, he continues to get better. You know, he's my roommate right now over at the PI. He lives in our office building. So it couldn't have happened at a better time for us to open this thing. I think the Performance Institute has been incredible for him. And, yeah, wow. Wow. I mean, I always believed in this guy since I met him. I thought that he was going to be the man. But, boy, he looked like the man tonight.
He's obviously someone, those of us who have been covering him are pretty excited about. I mean, his story is incredible. Are you guys getting sort of interest from the wider sports world?
Right? Yeah, I just, he's, you know, I think he's been out for a while, you know, no fault of his own. You know, we had a fight set up, then it fell, you know, we've had some trouble getting him a fight. But once we keep this guy active and you see him doing that to all the big stars that you know, yeah, I think this guy's going to be a rock star globally.
Stipe hasn't traditionally drawn the or gotten the biggest numbers as far as we know. I mean, is it possible to do that fight, International Fight Week?
What's the question again?
Stipe and Francis. I mean, is that possible that it's, you know, a big enough fight that you could headline International Fight Week or something?
I want it before International Fight Week. International Fight Week's in July. Yeah, I want to see that before July.
Hey, Dana, right here. Eddie Alvarez got a great win tonight over Justin Gaethje, handing him his first loss. Did he do enough to sort of get back in that title picture, or would you like to see him fight another contender?
He won this fight tonight. I think he's going to be out for a minute. You know what I mean? What you saw tonight is incredible. You know, the shots that Gaethje took to the body and head, the leg kicks, and it looked like, I don't even know yet. I don't know what's going on. But it looked to me like his jaw was broken, the way that his face was swelling up. Eddie Alvarez's absolute dogfight war between two absolute studs. So impressive. I don't expect either one of them to be back anytime soon.
Henry Cejudo got a big win tonight over Sergio Pettis. Some fans weren't happy with the way the fight sort of unfolded. What were your thoughts on the fight? Did you think Henry did a great job in that?
Listen, with tonight's fights, you don't want to be those two guys. You know what I mean? Yeah. They're going in there. They're fighting hard. They're trying to win, you know. And then you got guys knocking guys' heads right off their shoulders, you know, toe-to-toe knockdown, drag-em-out wars, and, you know, it was a tough fight to be in the middle of an amazing card.
What's next for Jose Aldo at this point? Would you like to see him fight at lightweight? Because I think, obviously, you know, he's not going to get a title shot anytime soon at featherweight.
Jose Aldo is one of the longtime reigning world champions in the sport. He is an absolute legend. The guy has nothing left to prove. I think it's one of those things he has to go down, sit down, talk to his family, and decide what he wants to do next. He's got plenty of money. You know, I don't know.
Last question for you. I know you've announced sort of the first quarter schedule for next year. No Canadian dates, so we're going to get any of those soon.
Yes, we will have some Canadian dates.
Any thoughts coming back to Montreal? It's been a while, and Georgia's back. It seems like good timing.
Yep, I like it.
Is there any medical update on Cowboy and Yancey?
Yeah, they've been transported. That's all I know. They've been transported to the hospital. Cowboy's been transported. Yancey, obviously, Gaethje and Alvarez, you know, the four guys involved in the fight of the night. And then Jose Aldo was just transported.
And then you said you wanted Francis and Stipe as soon as possible. Is it possible to stick that on the Boston card, considering Francis had such a quick fight? Like heavyweight, light heavyweight, light heavyweight on the same card?
I love it.
And then one final one. Tisha Torres, she obviously won. She could have the rubber match against Rose, I guess, and it depends on if you want to give her JJ. Is there any plans for her moving forward after this win?
I don't know. I don't make fights the night of the fight.
Dana, right here. Looking at Francis, does he remind you of a Tyson? Just the fact you have that one punch knockout power and just that personality has seems really gratifying and pleasing to the fans and
He's a big, scary monster, man. Yeah, he's a scary dude. And I don't know if you guys saw the social media piece that we put out on him, but we have that thing at the Performance Institute that gauges strength and how hard you hit, and he broke the record. He broke the world record the company has had. I don't know who hitting that thing, but whoever was the world record, he beat it. So that's scary. That's some Ivan Drago shit.
And off topic for this card, we saw CM Punk in the corner of Paul Felder, and we saw him walking past us after the fight. Did you have that conversation with him yet? Or
no, he just came out to support his team, and, you know, I think he wants to fight again. He told me that, but we haven't talked about anything.
Dana, the last time, or the previous three times you gave out to fight of the night bonuses, you also gave out performance bonuses as well. Are you planning on taking care of Francis as well for knockout?
Oh, trust me. Francis lives at the Performance Institute. I don't need him knocking on my fucking door looking for his bonus. We'll get him situated.
And then on the prelims, we saw kind of an early stoppage by Herb Dean. I think a lot of people were questioning. What did you think of that fight? And just
So that fight has already been rebooked.
Do you know when?
Yeah, for the end of the year card.
Okay, yeah. Awesome. That's official?
Official.
Okay, perfect. And I know you said yesterday, I know you don't want to do matchmaking the night of the fights, but since it's been one day since the card yesterday, any idea what you're looking to do with Nico Montano now that she's won that title?
No.
And then you dropped
Got here at 6 in the morning, slept a couple hours, and we haven't figured that out yet.
Yeah, and you mentioned the uncertainty around George with his illness, and then you said you're operating like Connor's not going to come back. What do you do with those weight classes right now, lightweight and middleweight? Of course, they both have interim champions. So how do you move forward with the uncertainty around both those two champions right
now? Yeah, we'll figure it out. We'll figure it out. It happens. Be good, buddy.
Sometimes we get excited the night of a fight because we just saw something crazy, and Ngannou was pretty crazy tonight, but I'm looking at that fight between he and Stipe as, and no disrespect to any of the heavyweight championship fights that we've seen over the last few years, but that one just kind of feels like maybe it's a little bit different, just because you have two guys who are a little younger. Just the way that they've been finishing fights, I mean, I think they both finished four, they're on a streak of four first-round finishes. Does it feel like that is an opportunity to really showcase the heavyweight division and maybe
Absolutely.
It hasn't?
I couldn't agree with you more. You're 100% dead on. And, Francis and Ngannou, if you look at the matchup too, when you break that fight down, Stipe, oh God, Stipe's a smaller heavyweight, but Stipe is fast. He's agile. He's a great athlete. Francis Ngannou is bigger. He's not as fast as Stipe, but he hits really hard. So it's actually stylistically a very, very good matchup and a fun fight. Obviously what he just did to Alistar tonight, Stipe did the same thing to him in the first round. Stipe finished him in the first round viciously. The answer is yes, and I agree with you 100%.
Yeah, I mean, does it potentially give you something that you maybe haven't had since maybe even Brock left the division? Or is that going too far, do you think?
Say that again?
Does it give you maybe something like from a promotional or marketable standpoint that you maybe haven't even had since Brock was not champion? Or is that going too far,
you think? No, yeah, I agree. No, Francis Ngannou is special, man. He really is. And Stipe has proven himself to be an absolute stud. Doesn't matter how big the guys are. And he has cardio for days. He's very fast. And he has incredible knockout power.
And then we obviously saw a flyweight fight that was pretty important. Have you talked to Demetrius about his interest in defending a title against TJ? Or is it going to be a flyweight contender?
No, that fight's going to happen. Yeah, that fight will happen.
100%. That's the next one for him.
Yeah, that fight's going to happen.
Thank you.
We didn't announce it yet. We good? I'm going home. Thank you, guys. Good night.
Francis, this is the first time I think we have seen you in traditional Cameroonian clothing. I'm just curious why you thought it was important to dress this way tonight.
First of all, it's not Cameroonian clothes, it's African clothes.
Okay. So not specifically West African, just African in general?
Yes, just African.
Well, and I guess obviously Dana has made it official. You're fighting Stipe next. What are your thoughts tonight after this sort of this journey getting here? What are your thoughts? I mean, how are you feeling tonight after this journey?
You know, I feel very great. Yes. And then I wasn't able to avoid myself to thought about Stipe even during my training camp. I was like, just focus on Alistair, but my mind was also at Stipe because I knew that would be the next.
Dana said he wants to match you up with Stipe as soon as possible. When would you want that fight to happen?
Soon as possible, as he said. I'm injury free, so I'm ready to go. I've been out for a long time, for like 10 months, and now I want to go, yes.
And the fight was very quick, but did anything facing Alistair surprise you in there?
No, really. The only thing that is, this time he used to switch a lot and then strike on southpaw, but this time he stayed for the right hand for a long time. That was just a different thing, but we keep that. We work for all that.
Francis, over here. Over on this side. In your post-fight speech, you had time to address some serious social issues. Did you have enough time in the octagon? Is there more that you want to say about it? Would you like to talk about it here?
Say it again, please.
Sorry, after your fight, you had time to talk about some serious social issues, social problems. You mentioned slavery. Did you have enough time in the octagon? Would you like to talk about it more at the conference?
Yes, because at this day, in Libya, we have some African guy who just want to immigrate because they want to have better life. They are finding road to go to Europe, something like that, and cross Libya, and then the Libyan catch them and treat them as a slave. So we saw that on TV, on social, and then I have my heart break for that, you know, because I was immigrant too. I do all that stuff, but no idea to that. That doesn't mean I was a bad guy, you know. I was just someone found better life, you know. Found something to do to help my family and myself to earn my own life, you know, my own money.
And I want to ask just about Alistair. That was obviously an amazing knockout. And you guys have had a good attitude towards each other. After the fight, he seemed to be, you know, okay, mostly okay, suffering a punch like that. But did you get a chance to talk to Alistair and say anything to him? Did he say anything to you?
Not at all. Or not yet.
Hey, Francis. Congratulations. Félicitations.
Merci.
I just wanted to ask a follow-up to a question that was asked earlier, because usually you come wearing the suit. So why this time did you decide to change and represent your home country? Was there any specific reason?
No specific reason. No, not really. But I decide to represent Africa.
And I know it's easy for us to judge on the outside, but I'm wondering if you watched the finish and if you regret landing that extra punch when he was out, because it was clear that he was out and you hit him with that extra punch. Do you regret that, or is it hard to pull back in the heat of the moment?
I was engaged, so there was not. I don't even know what happened. You know, I just threw punch and then that's happened. I was already engaged, but I didn't have time to see that he's like out.
And the way you hit him in his head, you know, kind of going back like that, is that one of the cleaner knockouts that you've ever had? Is that something that you enjoy just because you hit him so flush, so perfectly?
Hey, listen, Ariel, I'm a fighter. I'm come here to win. What doesn't matter how I hit him, I hit him to win, and then he'll probably do the same thing.
Sure. No, I'm saying, did you enjoy the fact that you connected so cleanly?
I enjoy the fact that I win the fight, and then that was my goal. I did it, and that's it.
Okay, thank you.
You're welcome.
Francis, right here in front of you. You're the fourth fighter in UFC history to win your first six fights by a stoppage. Stipe has won his past five fights by knockout. How do you see a fight between you guys actually going?
The fight between me and Stipe, the same way as the other one, knockout. I don't have no prediction than knockout. That's my skills. That's something that we're working hard for it.
But you have got a submission during the streak. Are you still working on that part of your game?
Yes,
as well?
Yes. Obviously, I stay working on that. That's why I found some great guys, some good jiu-jitsu guy, Vinny Magalesh, who helped me to work for my ground game, because he's a very good jiu-jitsu guy, and then he helped me for my skill. But that is just a plan B, just in case.
It seems like this fight could happen pretty soon. What do you do, you know, right after this? Do you go right back into camp? Do you take a few days off, or what do you do?
We will talk about the fight, and then when we set it up, I will decide what to do. Yes. So it depends for the day, for when they will set the fight.
It sounds like you're going to get an extra bonus as well, at least from what Dana was saying. How happy does that make you?
That's a good thing. I don't need that money, you know. I moved from Paris to Vegas, so that took me a lot of money. I need some cover money now. And then I'll be out for like 10 months. And then, to be honest, every one of you guys love money.
Francis, over here, just a follow up to that. What would you spend the money on? You said just sort of, you know, helping you out with, you know, the fact you haven't fought in a while, just paying some bills, everything like that.
How to spend my money?
If you got the bonus money, what would you do with it? Just sort of, you know, pay any bills or anything?
Oh, I have a thousand things to do, my man. You know, I'm gonna do some good training camp, because Stipe is a champ, and then he's a good guy. He's doing well. So I need to prepare, have a good training camp. I'll probably go to Paris for a few times, do some training camp there, or go to Cameroon, visit my family, keep helping them. And then I start working about, you know, my gym in Cameroon, because I'm making some gym there for kids. So the money will probably help me for everything.
And we've seen you during fight week, and like you always are, very respectful, very, you know, good manners, all that stuff. How important is it to be a role model, especially, you know, representing your people and everything else?
I don't really choose to be that. I think it's just how I am. And then if that seems like motto, it's a good thing.
And you're getting the title shot next. You got a lot of leverage right now. Are you pushing the UFC to, you know, have a card in your country? You know, is that sort of a dream of yours?
Yes, of course. I want to. First of all, I want to be the first African to have a UFC belt. I want to be the one who bring the UFC in Africa, basically in Cameroon. You know, make Cameroon be the. The first country in Africa to have UFC, he'll be good. He'll be like an honor for me.
This is the biggest win of your career. How are you celebrating tonight?
What is my biggest?
This was the biggest win of your career, I would say. How do you plan on celebrating tonight after this press conference?
The biggest win of my career is coming.
Okay. But how are you celebrating, though? You going to go out tonight, or are you going to hang with your team?
I'm not done yet. I'm just on my way, going doing my job, so I keep my head straight to my goal. I'm no lose attention for anything, you know. So that's why I'm saying I'm ready to go. If they just give me the tighter shot now, I'm ready to start the training camp tomorrow Monday morning. I'm ready. I have a goal.
Hey Francis, just a quick one about earlier this week on Embedded. They caught you during the stare down on Wednesday. You were telling Alistair that he was going to go to sleep on Saturday.
Yeah.
Have you ever done that to an opponent? Have you ever told him something like that right before a fight?
No, but sometimes you have to do something that you never do.
Did you know you were going to do that?
Yes.
You knew before?
You know, in this sport, everything can happen, but most of the time you can fit in, and then I know that for like 80%, I'm going to knock you out. And then the 20% was just like random, you know.
and I guess if you know that, that's fine, but why tell him that? Did you do it to intimidate him, or did you?
No, because he talked a little bit. Okay. He talked a little bit, and I really just want to hear to hear that I'm a little bit hungry about what he said, and then I want to correct him.
What do you think made you so confident about this fight, though? Because that was a guy who had, you know, been fighting since he was, you know, what, 15 years old, and he had 60 professional mixed martial arts fights. You have 10.
That is the past, man. We are talking about now, and now it's me. I'm the present.
Congratulations. Thanks.
Thank you. You question my age? 31. 31. I mean, he's not a corpse. I don't need to prove for him or I mean. And then if cops need my age or my birth certificate or my family or what school I went to when I grew up, they will check all that. You cannot lie about that. But he's nobody. He's not having right to ask that. So I'm not going to pay attention for that. He just crashed out.
All right, thank you.
Add stuffed cheese bread on request. I just got it.
Max going with the red tie tonight.
Lava, brother. I told you guys. UFC been trying to ice me. Toronto. Brazil is cold as shit, too. Here is cold as shit. They can't ice the Hawaiian, bro. So I had to bring the heat. Decided it's called lava.
I mean, that fight seemed like it resembled the first one pretty similarly. I mean, back and forth first two rounds, then you finish him off, I think, 30 seconds later in the third round than the last time. I know you said, you know, you see how it's going once you're in there, but what did you just make of, you know, how the fight unfolded this time around?
You know, first things first, you know, I recently heard about Aldo's, his motivation for this fight was his daughter. And, you know, me being a parent with my son, I get it. But, you know, that guy should know he doesn't have to owe anybody anything, you know. That guy's one of the greatest of all time. I think Brazil should be building statues of that guy in all the favelas, man. He's a legend. He's a GOAT. And I got a lot to feel, so. But, you know, to your question, I told you guys before, there's a quote going around. I told you guys, if I beat you one time, the second time's going to be worse. And then the third time, you should rethink your life about accepting the fight, you know. But just joking, but we knew it, you know. After the first round, I walked up to Joe Rogan and John Anik. I told him, the guy's tired. He's tired already. In the third round, I dropped my hands. I was telling him to punch me. I was like, bro, this is where you punch me. Punch me in the face. I'm daring you. I was telling him, I dare you. I dare you to punch me now. And, you know, it went well. Things went my way. I think so. I landed. He landed some shots. My shots just seemed to hurt him a little bit more. So everything went my night tonight, but like I said, the guy's a GOAT, man. You know, nothing but respect for him and his team and his family and all of Brazil.
Yeah, and I know you said in the lead up to this fight too that no one has really stood with you for a full fight, and you guys were striking it out for a while, but the beginning of the end was him shooting for that takedown. So does that just further prove your point?
Yeah, I told you guys, man. I'd be turning these strikers into wrestlers. You know, all these strikers think they're gonna strike with me. We're gonna do this and that, and they end up trying to shoot on me, and that's what happened. You know, I actually in the back, and one of my where's my friends, my coaches in the back. I was telling him I was actually thinking of taking him down. He was so tired, and I wasn't landing punches. I was like, I should take him down and ground and pound. And I was like, wait, I tease people who do that. Yeah, let's not do it. So I ended up punching, ended up falling, and we ended up getting the finish. So it feels great.
Yeah, and I mean, you were rolling deep here tonight. I mean, your son's sitting there next to me. You have tons of people out here.
Yeah, stop bringing out my son already. He already took my thunder before the fight. I had to. I saw him going, okay, look, Bled said, delving on crazy. I was like, I gotta live up to this shit. Come on, Russ. But, and then that knockout happens before, and then Yancey's fight. I'm like, what is going on? Everybody is setting the bar high for me. What the hell?
Yeah, I mean, was this the first time he's seen you fight live?
Yeah, first time he saw me fight live before, but first time I think so he actually know what's going on. So yeah, it was cool. You know, I could hear him, when I was sitting down in the corner, I was hearing him cheer. So it was pretty fun. It was pretty crazy. I was like, oh man, usually he's at home watching it on TV, you know, and I got to FaceTime him, and then he always like not surprised about the gold belt. So this guy is funny.
Yeah, when you're in the back watching Yancey's fight, how are you reacting? Are you, I mean, freaking out? Or are you trying to keep yourself calm to not exert all your energy?
What's it like? I was at the hotel. We was coming down, and I was freaking out. You know, me and my friend was freaking out. Look, there's a thing of us fighters, we know how it is in there, and we can control it, and we know what we can control. And then when you're watching one of your best friends, you know, this guy, we did camp. I seen him all day, all the time. We do the same trainings. And you see stuff like that, ups and downs. It's like you can't do nothing, so you feel hopeless. And I was like, oh, no, why? And then when he's up, it's like, yay. So it was an emotional roller coaster, you know, like anything else. But he got the job done. You know, congrats to his 50K, mother sucker. You know, I wanted my 50K too, but, you know, congrats to him. But, yeah, like I said, UFC reports, you guys ranking reports. If you guys beat a ranked guy, you guys should be ranked at that stuff, so do not jip my man Yancey. Put him 15, and let's go UFC. Let's go to UFC Hawaii. Let's do Hawaii versus the world. I think we got, what, 10, 11 UFC Hawaii fighters now? The time is now.
There you go, and last thing for me. You're on a 12-fight winning streak now. I think it's the fourth longest in UFC history. You turned 26 on Monday. Happy early birthday.
Thank you.
How far can you take this thing? What's kind of the end goal here of just how long this run can really go?
We see, you know, medically, the only thing that's going to stop me is medically. If I medically can't make the weight, I'm not going to force my body to do something that it doesn't want to, you know? I'll gladly go up to 55. You know, I was talking to Michael Bisping them on the show. You know, Michael was like, oh, can we see you a future champion? I was like, Michael, you know, he calls me Maxi Baby. I was like, Michael, you're cutting Maxi Baby short. Us Hawaiians, I'm Hawaiian Samoan, I love to eat. I want to go for four titles, you know, 170, 155, 170, 185. They all can get. I might even be at heavyweight one day. I don't know. You guys know our eating habits is bad down in Hawaii. So, you know, your boy might get big and we might make history.
Max, congratulations, of course, on the victory. I asked you this before the fight, but now that it's all over, I mean, what does it mean for your legacy that you now hold two wins over Jose Aldo? No one has ever done that, much less beat him back-to-back, obviously. But, I mean, where does this rank? I mean, how big is this for your legacy that you did beat him a second time?
This is huge, you know. This is huge. Like I said, you know, that people ask me what that makes me. That makes me a guy with two wins over Aldo, and I got a bunch more to catch up to him. You know, he's the greatest of all time. He got, eight title defensive. I got to catch up, you know. That's... Numbers don't lie, you know. Women lie, men lie. Numbers don't lie. I only got one defense. I got a bunch of catching up to do. He's still the GOAT, and I respect him, man. I'm coming for that record, though.
The last time you won, you said, you know, your kind of post-fight demand was, you know, you had to sit down with the UFC, you know, get your contract sorted out. Now, that's sorted out.
Uh-huh.
So this time, are you going to sit down and demand that UFC in Hawaii card? Is that your demand this time?
Yeah, you know, I saw Dana. I was talking to him, you know. I told him. He said, maybe I got to do it. Maybe I do it outside and just suck it up. I was like, yeah, don't be scared, homie. Stop being scared. I was about to ask him if I could Hawaiian slap him, you know. You guys saw it in the first Aldo fight, but I'm just joking. I think so. The fight's got to happen. We got a champion. We're going to have a ranked guy. Another Hawaiian, things didn't go her way on this card, but she's Hawaiian. Rachel just won the other fight. We got all kind of guys ready for my team, ready to go. We got guys signed, Dan Ige, Boston Solomon from Waianae. And I think so we got like 9 or 10 guys in Hawaii, from the state of Hawaii, with Brad Tavares, you know, willing to fight. Let's do the UFC Hawaii. Hawaii versus the world. Anybody can get it. Featuring Max Holloway.
I know that, you know, it was, you know, you roll with the punches when the change in the fight happened, when it went from Frankie to Aldo. You never blinked, you never cared. But do you feel like you do have any unfinished business with Edgar because you didn't get to fight him? I mean, is that kind of the next logical fight just because he's right there and you've kind of cleared out most of the other contenders right now?
You know, like I said, I've been telling you guys all week the same thing. It's the cupcakes. These guys is cupcakes. I want the new flavor. I want to know how the new flavor tastes like. But I know how the old ones taste, so it's great. I'm fine with anything. I'll fight them all. They're all going to take L's, like I said. By the time I'm done with this division, when you look at the top 15, everybody's going to have an L next to their name, some guys two. And if you're lucky, you're going to have three.
And this may not be next, but I asked Dana about this, so I'll ask you. I know it's something that's on your mind. Talk about, you know, an old flavor. Conor McGregor's out there. You got 12 wins in a row. You've beaten pretty much every featherweight contender, you know, between this win streak. And if you beat Frankie, I don't really know, maybe Brian Ortega if he wins. Is that Conor fight, that would feel like a super fight. If he's champion, you're champion. I mean, does it feel like at some point that's some unfinished business you're going to have to have?
Yeah, for sure. Like I said, I'm a champion of my division. And I gotta keep everything rolling. You know, I gotta keep everything going. I gotta throw him to defend. I'm not gonna go into hiatus. And you know, as long as I get contenders, I'm gonna fight. But if UFC call me out for that reason, any reason of fighting him, I'll gladly fight him. If the Conor fight don't happen, it's not on my side. I tell you guys right now, it's not on my side. It's on their team. Their team talking about me all the time. They tell me how I'm the best guy in the world and blah blah blah, this and that. Right now, Conor, like, really think about this. Right now, Conor is talking about fighting Paulie Malignaggi in MMA. Just let that sink in, you know? Paulie Malignaggi in MMA, I don't know what to say. I don't know what to say after that.
Max, congratulations back here.
Thank you, brother.
A guy you haven't really matched up with is Cub Swanson. I know that was a thought process before, was Frankie or Cub. Uh-huh. It became Frankie, then it turned into Jose. If Cub wins his next fight, would that be a lane you'd like to, you know, look at, maybe, and venture towards?
Like I said, we see. I ain't a matchmaker. I'm a fighter. I'm the king of the division. All these guys can bang. People's like, call out this guy, call out that guy. Why? I got the belt. I'm not a contender anymore. I'm the champion. I'm sitting pretty. You know, I'm hungry. And if they want to fight, that's the fight UFC makes. UFC makes it. I don't care. I take that fight with open arms.
Hey, Max, right here. How much credit does this win go to the people around you, your manager, you know, working with Tyler Minton this time around? It seems like you have a really good support system, and I know they've really sort of helped you, you know, get to this point.
Tyler Minton? Fuck that guy. No, I'm just joking. I love that guy, man. He's he was feeding me great. You know, everybody was talking about the cut and whatever and this and that and being like, oh, he brought out the towel and blah, blah, blah. I'm like, I bring out the towel because when I check my weight without underwear on. Why am I going to cut an extra half pound to wear an underwear to weigh in? Just bring out the damn towel, you know what I mean? That's extra work. And Tyler made me eat. When I was fighting Pettis last year, during Thanksgiving, I had a gallon of water all day. I had 4 meals with Tyler Minton here for this fight, you know, on Thanksgiving. So I was blessed with him, you know. My coaches, my staff, my management, you know, Gracie Technics, Legacy Muay Thai, Tactical Strength and Conditioning, Sucker Punch Entertainment. I got some of the best guys behind me, man, and a lot of success is with them, you know. They're the guys working behind. I'm just the product. I'm the product that's getting shown to the world, you know. They're the ones they're the guys underneath the hood fixing everything and getting me ready to go.
How much did this cut compared to some of your other fights? Because, again, you know, the difference in this fight for sure was the fact you had a lot more energy, a lot more cardio.
Best I ever felt. That's how I said. Best I ever felt. Everybody was like, oh, you sound this and that. You know, that's what happens when you cut weight. Your throat is dry. You know, I don't know. That's what happened to me. But I was fine. My energy was fine. Everything was great. You know, everybody's like, you look distraught on top of the stuff. The reason why I look distraught on top of the scale is because when I was covering it and I saw the towel in front of the stuff and you had to be the scale, I was like, me knowing Gaethje, there's only one way the towel was going, up and down. That's why I had to be covering the Hawaiian snake. and I was ready. That's why I was distraught, guys, because I already know he was going up and down, and you know, there's no other way to do it. So he was the man. He was thinking of me. He wanted me to get my drinks in faster. So shout out to Justin Gaethje, and he's the man.
And ideally, when would you like to get back in the cage? I know this win's very fresh, but do you sort of have an idea in your head when you'd like to fight next?
Whenever UFC wants to put my ass in Hawaii, you know, or the Night Island in Vegas, you know, I don't know. We see. I'm going to sit down with my management, you know. I got my birthday, my girl's birthday, my son's birthday coming up. So we got a bunch of birthdays to celebrate. So I'm going to do that, enjoy that. And if UFC come calling, though, I'll be ready. I'm always ready.
And the last question for you, you talked about the cupcakes. What's sort of your go-to cupcake? What's your favorite one?
Oh, my favorite one is peanut butter jelly time.
Back here, congratulations on the victory and happy early birthday.
Thank you, boss.
You know, a late switch in the camp going from your original opponent, Frank Yeager, to Jose Aldo. How much did it help that you had fought him once before? I mean, was that, you know, less videotape to study, more videotape to study, or was it just a familiarity, you know, that would help?
I was just, you know, it didn't change. You know, you got to roll the punches. If you believe you're the best man in the world, you're going to fight anybody, anywhere, anytime. And I believe it, you know, and I get ready and I train that way. So there's no questions, you know. I leave no turn on stone. When I'm training, and it was great. You know, when I was in there, he might have looked quicker, but I was telling my coaches, he felt slower. Like, when I was in there, I was seeing a lot more stuff. He hit me with his uppercut again. I was pretty disappointed about that, but yeah, he felt a little bit slower to me.
Do you think you could have had him at the end of the second round? It looked like you were really starting to gain momentum then.
Yeah, I was just having fun, man. He was blocking. He was covering up a lot, you know, and he has, like, bony elbows and stuff. And, like, I was punching it and stuff. And you know, I hurt my hands before punching people's elbows and top of the head. So I was just trying to take my time and trying to move, you know, I wasn't trying to step into anything, none of his bounce. He was swinging pretty hard. I just didn't want to walk into anything and, you know, be looking at the canvas. That would have been a horrible night.
One last question for you. As a father of two myself, you know, how much inspiration was that having your young son in the crowd?
It was great, you know. It was great. It was funny, that guy. I'm still mad at him for taking my thunder, though. I think so. The internet is broken by him dabbing more than me finishing all of those. So it's a very sad day in the Holloway household. I think he might sleep outside with a dog.
Hey, Max, congrats. By the way, where did he learn to dab so well? Did you teach him?
This thing called Kids YouTube.
Okay.
And yeah. Whatever he just did. Did you see his repeated dab?
Yeah.
That was on point. I was like, I'm not going to beat that. I was going to dab in the after the fight, but I was like, nah, man, I'm just biting his swag. I'm going to get shit on for it. So
I'm not sure if you thought of this, if this crossed your mind. This was the first time that the featherweight title was defended successfully since October of 2014. It has been quite some time. And you did something, you know, we always bring up Conor to you. You did something that Conor never did. You defended the featherweight title, and you fought Aldo for a second time. Does that mean anything to you? Did you want to bring some stability back to this division when you took the crown?
Yeah, like I told you, you know, this is what champions do. Champions defend, and they always say you're not a champion until you defend your title. And, you know, I always wanted to bring stability, and I wanted to prove to people this is how, if you want to be a champ, this is what you got to do. You know, you got to keep the... It's like me. It took me 10 fights to get an interim title and 11 for the undisputed, you know? I don't want anybody else to go through that, you know? I want everybody to pick one. I want to be like DJ. As soon as they come up, they pop up, you guys get sent right back down to the bottom of the barrel, brother. So good try, and keep trying to catch up.
We're in an era now where it seems like, you know, someone gets a belt and then they ask for a super fight or moving up and things like that. Do you not like that? Do you want to go back to the old days where it's just like, who's next? Let me fight that guy and that's it?
You know, I understand. I can see it from two ways. You know, people trying to get their money and leave the game early, and people trying to set history or whatever, this and that. You know, right now I'm focused on champ life. I want to be a champion. I want to be a long reigning featherweight champion. I want to be known in the history books, my name everywhere, you know, as a champion and this and that. And then when later on in my career, when I start getting good, then I can start doing the exhibition matches for money and stuff, you know. But right now, I think so. The world needs to know what a champion looks like. And that's what I'm trying to put my foot down and show the world. This is what a champion looks like. Defend. I don't really cry about anything. And, you know, if you think you're the best, come fight blessed.
And just one more. For the longest time, BJ Penn was considered the greatest Hawaiian fighter of all time. Do you feel like it's time that you're called the greatest Hawaiian fighter of all time now?
Nah, I got a lot more. Another belt in another division. He got two belts in two divisions. He defended his 55 title. I got a bunch more. You know, like I said, he's setting the record for us. You know, and records are meant to be broken, you know, just like me. I dare anybody, not only a Hawaii kid, any kid from anywhere. If you guys want to do something, you believe in yourself and go do it. I'm setting these records. I dare you to beat them. And if you did, good for you. I'm going to give you a handshake, you know, show up to your front door and tell you congratulations.
Thank you.
Congrats. Right here, Max. We talked the other day about how Detroit feels like home to you. You said you feel very at home. What does it mean to you to bring such a night of excitement to a city who doesn't get a lot of MMA action?
I've been telling you guys since you guys didn't believe me. Every single card, I told you guys, stop sleeping on 206. Look, people had to replay that, watch that. 212 was the same way. I was like, don't sleep on it. It's still an exciting card. And 218 was an exciting-ass card, guys. I told you guys, don't sleep on it. I saw a stat saying that this is the first time in history where all the fights on the main card was ranked 6 or higher, the fighters. You know, these cards is meant to be exciting. There's a lot of chips on a lot of people's shoulders. Every card they put UFC put me on, a lot of the guys that I'm fighting with, we got chips on our shoulders. We got something to prove, you know? And we go out there and prove it all the time. So it was great. I'm happy Detroit love it. I'm happy. I'm sure my fellow Hawaiians love it. I hope the world love it. And even my Canadians. I got to show love to the Canadians, you know? They show me big love. So I hope they loved it too. Thank you, guys.
Frankie say no more.